Hi, this is Roberto. You're back with another Steambox podcast. Today, Steambox is reaching out to you from the Highlander Charter School. Highlander Charter students, please unmute your microphones and say what's up.
What's up, man?
Hey. I like how our jealous jumps in there a little bit late. Our guests today are Humanity 360, like goes round and round and round. I just asked them a question about their name because I was confused, but we'll talk about that more in a second. We've got Cedrica with us. Cedrica, what's up?
Hello, I'm Cedrica. Nice to meet you. Happy to be here.
Hey, Cedrica. And we also have Shantice. Shantice representing the organization. Shantice, what's up? How you doing?
Hello, peace. Blessings to all of everybody out there. How y'all doing?
Yo, I miss y'all. It has been an official year, and y'all were on the wildest mission ever last time I talked to y'all. So Highlander Charter students and anybody listening at home, what Cedrica and Shantice were doing was they were going around every state in the United States on a mission to explore the mental well-being in the states. I'm getting into vague territory, correct me.
That is one of the things that we were doing. More so imparting information about mental wellness and the importance of mental wellness for youth in particular.
And the other component, we pride ourselves on bridging the gap between the community and the resources. So that's what we found along our journey, is that there's a lot of resources, there's a lot of help out here, but we don't, as the community, we don't know where to find them. So that's our job when we come to your state. We're looking for like-minded people that are all about mental health, mental wellness, and how to connect you all.
As an introvert, I don't know how y'all do this, because y'all were noobs and rookies when I met y'all fresh and doe-eyed into Rhode Island. Didn't know which way was which, but just a couple weeks later, just like you said, you knew all the players and you were connecting people in Rhode Island. So before I hand it off to the students, a burning question that I had, because 2020 has been the year of the apocalypse, right? So given that, and given, so before we even get into the crazy struggles that everybody is having all around right now, I gotta mind my words. But given all of that, given the apocalypse, were you how did you have to abandon the mission at some point?
So I definitely would not like to catch on to the term abandoned, because nothing is ever abandoned, right? Right. We always drop off and pick up. But because Humanity is really focused on making those face-to-face interactions and promoting that social connection, it was very difficult for us to continue on the exact tour of moving from state to state, especially with the virus spiraling out of control as it is. So we decided to take all of our things virtual.
So that's where are you reaching us from right now?
We are in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Ever heard of it? Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad. Yeah, the blue crystal meth is all over Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I don't think the kids watch it. I've never seen it. People just use that reference when we say Albuquerque.
Yo, do you know, but what I was, I'm happy that you answered that, because is that your home?
No.
No.
I'm from Washington, D.C., and we kind of ended up here, unfortunately, to come and visit Sean's dad. He resided here, and we literally dropped everything to come and take care of him. And sorry about that. To drop everything to come and take care of him. He transitioned a few weeks ago, so we're still here planning.
Okay. The blue crystal meth reference, right, was obviously y'all had even brought up Breaking Bad, right? Y'all brought up Breaking Bad. But when I asked you, what was interesting was, yeah, of course, y'all travel. So I was definitely interested in where you were, but like where you literally are right now, because it looks like y'all might be on your fun bus. Are y'all on the fun bus right now?
Because RV, physically, literally, we are inside of our 2019 Class C RV that was donated to our organization from a funder. to support us in our travels. And so, yes, we do live on this RV. So when you speak of home, we take it wherever we go.
I'm just saying, Walter White cooked his blue crystal meth in the RV in Albuquerque.
We had no idea.
Yo, I'm just saying, y'all got some Jesse Pinkman stuff going on in that RV, which is hilarious.
It's all healing over here, man.
They just saying we gotta cook.
they cooking something. Billy is one of my mainstays. I have a fresh new group here, but Billy was with me last year. Billy came to Penny Arcade Expo with me last year, had a lot of fun. Billy, if you could unmute your microphone, there were some questions in the chat that we talked about last week, but what's your first question, Billy?
Hi. My first question is, are you guys experts in like the mental health field?
All right, so I'll answer and then I'll let Cedriga answer. So what's funny is the fact that we attempt to redefine terms like expert. In the traditional setting, an expert would be someone who has done an intense study on a topic, went to schooling and things of that nature. And so, and by that definition, we would not be considered experts, but to redefine the word expert would be to use our experiences and our trials and tribulations to form opinions, information, and a host of other things to be experts in this category. And so when we talk about mental wellness, the plethora of information that we've gained from traveling to state to state, in that respect, I would consider us to be experts because we have helped a lot of people just based on the information that we've gained and the knowledge that we've learned. So yes, mental wellness experts, not by Webster's definition.
I mean, you said everything. What else could I say?
All right, she says.
But exactly what Shanti said. Myself personally, I used to beat myself up because I felt like I had to have a degree to do all of these things that we're doing now. But no, I mean, we do continue education. So we are mental health first aiders, and a little bit about mental health first aid. Everybody can take the course, and it pretty much breaks down mental health, mental illness, how to detect someone who may be going through a mental health episode or whatever. Everything mental health, we learned in 8 hours in this course. And it was very powerful because it opened my eyes to things that I've said that may be triggering to other people. So we do a lot of continuing education, and definitely experience has taught us a lot. So we are experts, I'll say.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate that y'all seem like you're still building on your craft too, right? Like not even ready to stay where you are, but always exploring and learning more. Steambox, when we started, with another organization, there was a really old expert teacher, a teacher who had all the qualifications, but no students wanted to go and learn in this particular class. And I had the students get together and let them hire who their next teacher would be. And they hired a young Dominican woman who is still in college with no credentials, but she was willing to learn. She expressed that she wanted to learn and teach language acquisition to these students. And we went from two students attending one person's class to a full 18 student class with this other person. So yeah, I think representation is important, and I'm happy that y'all are out there and representing, because y'all are reaching a lot of people, notwithstanding what degrees you have. So yeah, that's a dope answer. I really appreciate it. Sabdiel, what's your question?
I first want to welcome you to Steambox.
Hey.
I have a great group here. So my question is about school and the school environment. Do you think as you went around the country, studying different states, do you think school has had a negative impact on the student body around the country in mental health? Have you experienced this, the study along your travels?
Yo, so forgive me for taking over. Your voices are way more important than mine, and I know I'm speaking way too much, but this point I think is so profound and so important that I want to amplify what you just said, Sabdiel, because this group discussed it, and this group like completely agreed that school has a negative impact on our mental well-being. So Sabdiel, if you don't mind, can you unmute and ask the second half of your question again? Because I think all of our audience should really sit with that and know that the young people feel that way.
Yeah, like I'm just trying to tiptoe around, but do you think school has a very impactful impact or negative impact on our students around the country? Do you think, does it create depression if we don't take care of it? Does it create more anxiety, or does it create more, it's very touchy for me, but does it create more suicide rates? Like, as we can see, I take mental being very serious, and I've seen, you know, that the teenager suicide rate is always going up, and I always wonder if it's the school to attribute for this spike.
I think we both can answer this, but Sean more so because she comes from the education sector. But I think both. My answer would be yes. I feel like the school system does impact our mental health, and in other ways, it's a benefit. And I say a benefit because the youth, sometimes home isn't the best place or isn't as pleasant. When I think of home, me growing up, I'd rather be anywhere else but home. So school sometimes is children's safe haven, to where, you know, you may have that teacher you can go to and talk to about whatever you're going through. But on the other hand, I didn't have that. So in school, I didn't really excel very well because I was going through so much at home, and then all I had to do to come to school, and they're putting tests in my face and, you know, do this, and you want to strive for this GPA, don't do drugs, or, you know, just the very bare minimum. I don't think school really thinks about the mental health of the students, just from my personal experience.
Yes, and so speaking from an administrative perspective, as I was an administrator for 2 years, 1 year, and then a principal for 1 year in Washington, D.C., I definitely have to say that the lack of attention towards the students' well-being, mental well-being, is definitely has a very huge impact on the mental wellness of students. There's no streamlined process or fine print to say what you are supposed to do in school when you're experiencing something. I don't even know if every school has a professional counselor there. You know, I remember just having a nurse in school. There was no one to talk to about anything that I may have been feeling emotionally or mentally. And I don't know if that has changed. And I will tell you that based on our experience in the schools that we have visited, I will say that
Atlanta, when we went to Atlanta, they had one counselor for the whole student body, So just to know that, is like, how are you supporting these kids? And when we got there, we literally, like, this mission is very intentional. It's very spiritual. It's very, like, God just puts us in places. And when we went to this particular high school, the children were mourning because a child had taken his life over the weekend. So we got there and the whole school was in a panic because they weren't prepared for this. They didn't know what to do. So it's like, this could be any school. This could be your school. So how is the school preparing for things like this to happen? They didn't know. So we came, but we didn't come that day. They're like, come another day. We were able to sit in the cafeteria during all of the children's lunch periods. And people, you know, they came to us and expressed, you know, this was my friend. And we were able to share different coping skills and let them, and just support them, because kids, they just want to be supported and to feel supported. And sometimes, you know, when it comes to education, teachers, they can do but so much because it's your job. You can't cross certain lines or certain barriers to intrude, because then it's like CPS. I don't know. Is that like the next step? You get CPS involved? But that's not always the answer, right?
No.
Okay. See, I'm not, I do not have a school background, so I don't even know how that works.
It's fine. Just to answer your question, yes, the school has a huge impact mm-hmm. on the mental wellness and the mental health of students, for sure. And the depression thing, you know, it's very difficult for adults to address something in a child that they have not addressed in themselves. So a lot of these issues that children are experiencing, adults, one, can't recognize it, and two, have no idea what to do or say, because they also may be going through some of the same things. And that is the reason why we are normalizing asking for help, reaching out to people, and no matter who it is, just don't think that you have to go through this alone. And so that's why we do what we do.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I have like a follow-up question. Like, what can schools do differently for a positive impact?
I mean, the sheer acknowledgement of the trials and tribulations that a child may endure, just the sheer acknowledgement from a cultural perspective. Let's say if every morning a school would have some type of mental wellness seminar or assembly, maybe something as small as that, but the sheer acknowledgement to make those resources known to students every day, just reminder, guys, we have such and such and such and such here. If you ever got need to talk, don't ever feel like that you're alone. Just small little reminders and acknowledgement of the fact that children are dealing with a lot nowadays. I mean, with the addition of social media, it is a different beast. It's a different world. And it's not something that the adults are used to. It's a new, very new situation. Okay. And so we're all working together to come up with a solution that is viable for students and adults. But they definitely need to just acknowledge. That's my main point. Acknowledge what's happening, put those resources in place so that students know how to find them.
Man, the two points that came up, one of them that I thought was super important, we're talking about the school resources. And the school that I met y'all at, had developed a wellness first initiative, including Steambox. It was Steambox and it was another organization working there, and not Steambox, but the room that we developed, we had a wellness initiative room even where students can go and take time and seek help. As Rhode Island had like a really bad report about our schools in general. And as that report came out, they shook all the administrators. And as a new administration team comes into that building, guess what's the first thing to go, right? Like the first thing to go is the wellness initiatives. And as I have asked, because it's been a priority now more than ever, I've put STEAM aside. STEAM is our thing. I put STEAM aside and try to work on check-ins with the schools. And I was literally at that school told, no, we've got experts for that. And I'm like, but do you though? Because you're like one expert that rotates in and out between the other schools. That's a huge caseload. You know what I mean? Is it okay for me to check in with students? Which I think takes us back to your first answer, right? Like, and just being there for students is important, right? Like availability is the best ability. But Cedrica said something else that I thought was super important. And it was all about perspective, right? Because for me, also, because my family was really rough, when I got out of the all-white schools that traumatized me in their own ways, but when I got a little further and when I got into high school, school was my safe haven, right? Because my family was a little rough, a little large, some nefarious activities. So school, like I actually went to school an hour early every day. So it's interesting because I see what Sabdiel is talking about now and what the group agreed happens now. I see how schools are actively traumatizing students, but I've also seen cases where in some schools, some students do look to schools for a safety. Yeah. So some of the schools are doing something right. I appreciate that answer.
Yeah.
Argelis, where you at?
I'm here. The question that I have is there any schools or states that like really care about their students' mental health?
Yeah, great question also. Yeah, just the first thing that came to mind was McNair High School when we were in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, and yeah. that's a big component of our tour. We visit high schools, middle schools, all schools, because we want to impact the youth, because the children are the future. And when we got there, this school actually had a mental wellness team.
A student body mental wellness team. It was the coolest thing ever.
Yes. So as we were doing our workshops, they were shadowing us, capturing footage of us, to help their initiatives, the things that they had going on before we even got there, to bring mental health to the front line. Because this school, they had too many kids in this school, barely enough room for, you know, the students to fit. So it's like, with children going through all of these things, they saw it, the kids saw it. So that's the thing, kids see a problem, and then this is how we create solutions. So they were already creating a solution. And I think that was very powerful within that school, that the principal even gave them the free way to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that peer-to-peer, there's something about peer-to-peer support that we can't provide. Like, you know, people who are of the teenage age, they really gravitate toward their peers, and they will talk to their peers before they'll talk to some stranger, some adult, anyone. And just by them knowing that and implementing that in their school, that was the best thing that they could have done. Everyone knew about this group. Everyone knew of this peer group, and they knew what they embodied. They knew who they could come and talk to. It was awesome. It was an awesome, awesome experience. And it's something that we would want to, you know, relate to other schools, because it's a great idea. It's a great initiative, and it works. That's the most important thing.
Hope that
action. Dope. The connection was fine, by the way. Your question came out really good. There was like a one brief moment of lag, but we all caught what you were saying. Yanhel, where you at?
I'm right here. I just want to ask, is a hot dog a taco?
You know, sometimes it could be. Perception is everything, remember? Is your hot dog a taco?
Yo, Yanhel, is your hot dog?
I'd say yeah, because you know, it's basically the same thing. You feel me? You could put whatever on a hot dog on a taco, right? And it's filled like the bread outside, you know, the wheat outside, and then there's meat in the middle. And you could put anything on a hot dog. Like, you could put cheese on it. You could put cheese on tacos, on the meat, you know? Yeah, I just think hot dogs are a taco. And there's no reason for them to be named differently. You feel me?
Is it a dirt taco then?
I want to say something because that is awesome. Let me tell you something. In thinking about ways to cope with trauma or to build on your mental wellness, creative expression is a really big one. So your exploration into an idea that seems so simplistic, and the fact that you were able to decode and think of it in that way, that is a form of creative expression. And so what I would like to do is to encourage you to continue to think out of the box that way. That is forward thinking. That is what we need. Yes. That is the core of mental wellness for you, creative expression. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Picture, by the way.
We should do a poll at home, right? Like, and have our audience answer whether or not a hot dog is a taco. Like, it would be a German taco. All right, so I have to segue. I'm going to Isaiah next and then Miftah. But before we get to Isaiah and Miftah, I think Yanhel just opened up a can of worms. Y'all have traveled. Y'all have traveled. How many states now have y'all traveled?
17
yep. States. Y'all have traveled through 17 states on this mission. So my question is, what are y'all eating out there? I know y'all are healthy, but like, what are y'all eating out there that is like particular to one spot that really moved you?
So I'll answer this one. Me personally, I do not like eating out. I'm very picky when it comes to my food. I send stuff back, and Sean don't like that. So that I can be, we only are in control of the things that we can control. So we eat a lot at home. And in this journey, in traveling and meeting so many different people, our lifestyle has changed in food. So we've tried plant-based eating, we've tried vegan eating. Sean started off as a pescatarian, and literally our lives are changing. We eat like once a day, sometimes twice, but not really as heavy. We've learned that school system, when you think about the pyramid and the dairy, all of that, that's not the pyramid for us. We're not supposed to be eating three times a day. It's overeating, because the truth of the matter, we can't break down all of those meals. So if you have a big breakfast and you don't use the restroom, you have a lunch, you don't use the restroom, and then dinner, you don't use the restroom, you're going to sleep on all of that food, and which causes dis-ease in our bodies. So we've just kind of been a little more open-minded and more what we eat.
Drika has been eating chili in New Mexico.
Green chili. Yes, so New Mexico is known for green chili. They put green chili on everything. And it just made me think about your burger tour.
The burger.
Yes. And I wonder, did you all come across any green chili burgers?
Sorry.
Anyone?
It's a different group. Than that.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But
did we ever have chili burgers?
Yeah, most of us are Spanish. Yeah, so we get over here patelitos.
They rocking the pastelitos. Yo, did you have a problem with her eating chili and then getting back on that bus? Like, is that?
I think she's jealous because Sean can't have anything spicy. She can't eat spicy,
A little jealous that I didn't get any green, but it's fun.
I mean, I imagine that it could be hard being with like one person on a bus for all this time. And I imagine that it can get stinky and it can get funky and a number of other things. Somebody in the group was asking if y'all are sisters, but I think Billy had another question that was relevant to the mission. Billy, can you unmute and ask?
We're not sisters.
We
are still inhaling.
Well, when you were talking about the food pyramid thing and how you're not supposed to eat three times a day, I was just thinking to myself about how if your metabolism is fast, then how can you like, aren't you you can't just starve yourself. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Wait, no. So there are protein alternatives. So nuts, all types of things, nuts, beans, things like that. So things that don't take a lot of time to digest. And also what is very important is we must eat to our blood type.
Yeah.
So everyone is not supposed to not eat meat. Everyone is not supposed to, you know, eat meat, but it depends on your blood type and what you're telling you. Because me personally, I used to have all these bumps on my face. I used to have gastric reflux and to where every morning I wake up and I feel like I had to throw up sick because of all of the acidic foods that we eat. So it's more important to know your body,
learn
your body and know what works for it, because body is like a car. I don't know if any of you drive yet, but if you put the wrong gas in your car, you won't have a problem. If you put the wrong oil in your car, you won't have a problem. So we have to treat our bodies like a car.
Yeah, so please learn your bike. And your body knows what it likes. Come on. Eat those eggs.
You're talking to a whole bunch of teenagers. Like their bodies don't know nothing. Their bodies are going through all these changes that do not have a training manual with it. They have no idea what's happening with their bodies. They're learning everything right now from you about their body.
Yeah, and it's very important. Like, I grew up not really knowing my body, because in health class they tell you this is this and this is that and this is this, but they don't talk about the importance of knowing, you know, how these things work, because when they're not working, then you're trying to catch up.
And dairy has caused a lot of issues in my life, and I didn't know until I played this Alicia diet game to see what was really bothering me. It was freaking dairy. Every morning I'm eating eggs, I'm drinking milk, and I'm like, why does my stomach hurt?
And dairy creates mucus in our bodies, in which we're not supposed to have, because it makes us more susceptible to getting sick.
You ever wonder how that happened? You ever wonder how humans discovered that you can drink milk? Like, there's a cow, and how did How did the human be like, you know what?
Bored.
I'm going to drink that.
I'm going to go. Boredom. They were bored. You know they bought them?
Earlier, y'all had talked about how y'all were on your 17th state right now. And Billy had a follow-up question. That's actually what I wanted to ask Billy. And but Billy had a different question regarding the 17 states. Billy, you remember that question?
Yeah, I wanted to know if you were going to go to all 50.
And why?
Are you asking me why or them?
I'm asking them why. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that's a good question. Are y'all planning on going to all 50 states and Guam? And why?
Yes, we are definitely still on a mission to go on a 50 state.
But that was the initial goal.
Yeah, that was our initial goal. To travel all 50 states. We still plan to travel all 50 states, but we also are aware that it's going to be a little bit different. And we decided to travel all 50 states because the suicide in the United States is extremely high.
Probably even higher now.
Yeah, higher now, and no one's talking about it. So we're like, how is this very important pandemic? Because I feel like suicide is a pandemic, but we're not talking about it like it's a pandemic. But the pandemic that we're in is more important than mental health. Nothing's more important than mental health because people look at mental health as, oh, this person who has bipolar, who's living with bipolar or depression, but we all have a mental health, whether it's good mental health or bad mental health. So just that, with that reason alone, we're not stopping by any means necessary.
Sabdia was talking about some news coming out of Japan. Sabdia, what was that news coming out of Japan earlier this week?
It was very old news. It was about how teenagers not wanting, you know, having high suicide and not going to school a lot.
As it applies to this week, it's during the pandemic, they found that it was at an all-time high this week in Japan.
Yeah.
I think what our guests are talking about is our guests are saying that while Japan might be, you know, it might be a stereotype of Japan, it's something mental health is, and we seem to be in a mental health crisis as well. Can you guys talk a little bit more about that and things that teenagers should keep in mind? Earlier, you gave great advice about not hesitating to reach out. What else would you say for somebody who is going through some form of depression? Not necessarily that's exclusive.
Well, number one, you are not alone. Like, we all experience bouts of depression. And just a little personal segue about myself, I was diagnosed with severe depression about 4 or 5 years ago. And when I got that diagnosis, it was like I was just experiencing bouts of sadness. Like, I was just sad. And I had to, in this journey, is that, yes, we all experience sadness, not always sad. So I was subscribing to this word depressed because I wanted to know the answer to it. And kind of like, I felt like I was victimizing myself. So when I stepped out of victim mentality, it's like, okay, I can choose to be happy. I can either choose to be sad or I can choose to be happy. What can I do to shake my energy? So I've used skills, coping skills like yoga, meditation, affirmations, destroying my negative thinking, because we don't have to believe everything that's in our mind. Sometimes our mind is not as clear as we think it is or as trusting. So sometimes we have to be like, hold up, mind, that ain't wrong. So just learning, having coping skills, and that's what we do. We travel and we share these coping skills with everyone because not everyone has access to a therapist or, you know, insurance or all the things that everyone access to. So what can I do on my own?
And so, and speaking of coping skills, we always talk about a plethora of coping skills, but if I'd had to choose one and give this one coping skill to a person who was being depressed, who was experiencing bouts of depression, I would say find your release. You have to find a release. The cause of this depression is something that's inside of you that won't come out. Some feeling, some emotion, some state of mind, some being need to release. Find your release, whether it's in writing, whether it's in music, whether it's sports, go outside, run, the sun. Find your release. That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's video games for me. What's yours?
Hey, oh, what's my release? Music.
All right.
I love music.
Who are we listening to right now? It's Prince for me. Who are you listening to?
I listen to myself. I make my own music. Sean made a state, made a song in every we travel to. I got seven. So definitely plug into our YouTube channel. All of our content is there. All of Sean's music. She's written it. I don't know where I can't do it.
What's your release?
My release is cooking. I love to cook. I love to clean. I love to make people feel good. And what better way than I also like to paint. Painting, I like drawing. I love creating. Anything that involves nation is my outlet.
She paints a lot.
We got people in the chat agreeing with video games. Billy is saying that anime is her release. And I just want to point out another Breaking Bad reference as you are sitting in an RV in Albuquerque talking about cooking. Just saying. The similarities are out there. We have Walter White and Jesse Pinkman.
We are cooking queens. I must add the hot springs. We just experienced the hot springs in New Mexico, and that's my next go-to.
New release.
It's my new release, going to the hot springs.
Are any of you familiar with the hot springs or know anything about it?
Tell us about the hot springs.
Wait, I have something to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Billy's got something to say.
Sorry, I just, I was watching this movie. I think it's called Vacation. And they went, you know what I'm talking about? That's the only way I know what hot springs are.
That's why you know about the hot springs. Can y'all tell us, the rest of us, about the hot springs?
Sure.
So, apparently, there's some freaking phenomenon that I can't explain
volcanic. It's like, if I could explain it, it's like a volcano that heats rocks that heats the rocks and it creates a natural hot springs.
Where's the water? A volcano that heats the rocks.
It's hard to really explain in a desert. We're in a desert. So there's not a lot of running water. There's not like lakes you can go to and things like that. But it's in a mountain.
It's a mountain that has a waterfall that's hot. And it's amazing. It's healing. So there are mineral properties in the water, in the rocks. And it is very, very healing. I will tell you something very personal now, okay? I had something on the bottom of my foot.
Callus.
Okay, I don't know what that is. I had callus on the bottom of my foot. When I got out of that hot springs, it was gone. I am not lying to you.
And just a thing, and there's different pools. So it's from 98 degrees to like 109 degrees.
It feels so good.
We went last week to the hot springs and it was snowing, like pouring snow in New Mexico. And it was the people at the hot springs, the most beautiful I've ever experienced in my life.
So when you guys come to New Mexico, we're going to make sure that we send you to the hot springs. And you don't have to be of any age. There were kids there. There were freaking dogs.
And it was free. And we had to hike to it. So it was a beautiful adventure.
I did not forget about y'all. While we're on the subject, though, I do want to point out two things. One, traveling is definitely the most therapeutic thing I've ever done in my life. And research has found that even planning a trip, if you're planning a trip for next year, a full year from now, next December, the entire this year is relatively therapeutic for you as you are planning it. Even just planning the trip itself is entirely therapeutic. But the second point to that, unfortunately, I do want to say that is a position of privilege that I have, right? Like, I understand that being a man gives me certain privileges and being light-skinned gives me certain privileges, but it's a privileged perspective to be able to plan a trip. But if you ever do have the opportunity, I find that extremely therapeutic. While we're talking about traveling and relatively nearby, have you experienced Sedona? Because that's a place that people flock to experience mental wellness and connect with the earth. And did you find any sort of extra connectivity while in Sedona?
So we actually have not been to Sedona yet. We've been to Phoenix. The Atmos Sedona, you can find small replications of that throughout both New Mexico, Colorado. And so one of the extracurricular activities that we did find that was so freaking cool.
We were mining for crystals, raw crystals that we buy from the store. Like, we had the ability to get our tools, go to these locations where clear quartz, amethyst, all different things reside in different states or different countries, and we were able to go and mine it ourselves. So, like, that was dope.
We didn't get this from there, but we have a clear quartz crystal, and these are the type of things that we were finding while we were mining. So it was a very, very, very prolific experience, something that I will never forget.
That's and dope. There's no service at any of these places, so your tablets won't work. I'm sorry.
Or your cell phones.
Somebody in the chat asked, how were you able to get such good service? These people are living in the city and getting, you know, mediocre service sometimes. How are you getting such good service in an RV in Albuquerque?
We have the Wi-Fi. We're at my aunt's house in the driveway.
Okay. The Wi-Fi. I thought y'all were in the desert, you know.
As we said earlier, we came here to take care of my dad. And when he transitioned on November the 4th, my aunt, you know, in being the great person that she is, she's like, you guys are welcome to stay here as long as you need to do whatever you need to do. And so we've been doing our virtual things from here for now, and also providing her with that support as we both need it right now. That was her brother. That was my dad. So we're both supporting each other during this transition. And we're really blessed to be here and to use our Wi-Fi.
Yo, I appreciate that. So thank you for whoever, I forgot who that was that asked that question. Isaiah, you are up. It's been delayed. I apologize, Isaiah. Last time we went to Isaiah, we had the mayor of Providence on, and we went to Isaiah, and after a short delay, Isaiah finally answered, and he was in the bathroom. Mifta, I'm skipping ahead to you, and I know this is out of order, so if you're delayed too, that's fine. Mifta, you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, hey.
The question I was going to ask is, how does mental health affect someone's, like, position, like how they react to things.
That's a large question, but
I would look at that from like a day-to-day basis. How does my mental health impact my day-to-day basis?
So what I think about, I think about now how the way of the world is going now, where they're forcing people to be isolated and be by themselves. So we're like, you can't go to school, you're at home in front of a computer all day, you're socially distancing. Like, that doesn't even make sense. How do you social distance? There's no such thing. It's like, now we're in this world where we're forced to, like, just be alone. I think I got away from the question. What was the question? Bring me back.
I think you took a tangent on the question, but you are taking a very contemporary approach, because right now you're pointing at the isolation that so many people are experiencing right now. And you're looking at that perspective and saying these people are definitely impacted and their mental health is definitely impacted in these ways. So even through just that perspective, What are some methods of relief? I know we talked about some methods of relief, but now we have specificity. Now we're talking about the isolation specifically. Now I'm at home, I have my laptop, my friends are on my gamer tags and stuff like that, and I can play with my friends online, but I'm not seeing them. I'm not hugging them. What are some things that I should be thinking about?
So this situation is really a double-edged sword. In a sense that you are lacking that social interaction that is a necessity for any life progression. The flip side of that is that you get to spend an unsurmounted amount of time with yourself, which we have not done in the past. If we can all just be honest, we don't really take time out of a day for ourselves. Busy, 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 sleep. You understand? Interact, sleep. This is the way that our days have been orchestrated. And so with this pandemic, we have time to spend with ourselves, and we can be intentional about learning our body, learning what we love to do, how we like to do things. And that in itself will impact our reaction to things, yeah. Right? And so if we sit back and we take this pandemic and complain about it, your reactions will be negative, period. And so I think it's about finding gratitude in things. That's what I think. And so as hard as it may be, to find gratitude in this situation for me would be the fact that I get to spend time with myself, to learn myself, and to learn the real intricate things about myself that I have never explored before because I didn't have time. Like, there's time to do everything that you said you didn't have time to do. And there's beauty in that in itself. And so just switching that mind frame in terms of thinking about mental health and your reaction, that is how you control your reaction.
I have time to read again. I want to do justice to Mifta's question because I know that we took a very contemporary approach on it. So we're talking about right now and the isolation and all of that stuff. But let's take another look of 1 year ago and 2 years in the future, right? 1 year ago, 2 years in the future, our norms, our daily lives. How does our mental health impact the day that we're going to have in our ordinary lives of going to school and then maybe going to work and interacting with family? What are some of the normal things, some of the normal pits that we fall into? How can we avoid them when we are outside of the apocalypse?
I think planning is really important.
Planning, a routine.
Routines, yes.
Have been a great savior for me. When I wake up, I have to, you know, do my spiritual connections. I have to read my reflections to get me motivated for the day. May do some breathing exercises, whatever I need to do to gear myself up to start my day. It's been proven that if you start your day with gratitude, the remaining of your day will just be beautiful, joyous, and you'll spend time in gratitude. Practicing gratitude changes your day, will change your life, will change your family, because the beauty of this journey is that I've learned that we can only change ourselves. So when we're interacting with people, the things that we take part in, we get to model it to the people around us, to where, you know, we're stepping out and we're happy, we're in good spirits, and they're looking at us like, what's going on with you? Well, this is what I did. This is what I do in my morning routine. And we're just welcoming other people in so that they can find their own segue to be present, because the fact of the matter is that we're all being affected. This is something that's affected everyone. And we're just all learning how to navigate through.
Thank you for that. I would definitely say that let's just point out the elephant in the room. The biggest pitfall is social media. There's no way to get around it. That's what it is. It's causing people to play this comparison game. You're looking at people like, oh, I wish, oh, I can't, oh, I want to. And that right there is gonna put you in a space and a place where you're not gonna be able to function appropriately or the way that you want to. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make a conscious decision to separate reality from fiction. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, your phone and your social media is strictly entertainment. It's strictly entertainment in a way that can affect your mental health. And so with knowing that these things, this social media, your phone, can heavily affect your mental health, you have to make a conscious decision to eliminate that amount of time that you spend doing those activities. You have to really pinpoint what it is that's affecting you. And for the most part, I know I can say it, and social media is affecting us. Mm-hmm. And so what and conscious decisions are you making to eliminate the amount of time? That's what you got to do.
And the news and everything is pumping fear right now. And that's the biggest, the downfall, fear. Fear pretty much eliminates all of, like, it makes us more susceptible to depression. It makes us susceptible to diseases and all of those things. So if we're fear mongers, thriving on all this fear, that doesn't make us feel good. So we have to eliminate the things that don't make us feel good and do more of what makes us feel good, that brings us joy. Our tour is called the Joy Tour, by the way, because we want to bring joy to everybody we encounter. So if we're living in fear, we can't do that. We're going to be depleted. So it's just learning use your energy.
It's a double-edged sword, because yesterday you were spreading your joy through social media, right? Yeah. Like, so that was something that Billy had just pointed out. If we want to learn more about the Joy Tour, the tour that you're on, and more of your information, where do we follow you?
So we have a number of accounts, of course. You can find us on Instagram at Humanity360, FOR365. On Facebook, Humanity360 Incorporated.
Yeah, or we have two Facebook pages. Why, I don't know, but it's spelled like our name here. And then we also have our website, Humanity360FOR365.com.
Dot org.
And if you go to our website, you can click on, you can chat with us anonymously. We have an anonymous chat on our website for individuals who don't want to give their names, who just need somebody to talk to, and you're talking to us directly. We also have support groups that are about to start December the 15th, in which one is for youth, so look out for that one. One is for Black men, one is for Black women, and the fourth one is for humans, so for everyone to be a part of, because what we've seen is that people want a place to go. They need support. Everyone needs support, a safe space. And we want to create that. So
we're also on Twitter at Humanity360FOR1.
Okay. There's a number of different evolutions of that name. I want to get back to something else that we said. I'm about to start losing students because they've got to go to other classes in just a minute. So you talked about social media, and I found this super interesting because I've never thought about it like this. One of our next guests, next week, we are lucky to be interviewing Ernie Cline. Ernie Cline is the author of a book called Ready Player One. And now he's just released a book called Ready Player Two, which talks about a number of our nerd tendencies, right? He talks about Back to the Future. All of these things are incorporated into his story. I'm not loving the sequel so far. It's meh. But he does talk about social media and how for his mental wellness, he has to abandon social media altogether. He says in this book, "We were designed by evolution to be hunter-gatherers, with the mental capacity to interact and socialize with the other members of our tribe. Our tribe is made up of a few hundred people at most. Interacting with thousands or even millions of other people on a daily basis was way too much for our ape-descended melons to handle. This is why social media has been gradually driving the entire population of the world insane since it emerged back around the turn of the century." Is that in line with what you were thinking, Sean?
It is definitely in line. It's definitely in line. And I mean, it's to each his own with how you discern that and what steps you take to correct that. It's very subjective. And so him stopping social media altogether would probably be an ultimate goal for everyone. But as you can see, we can take social media and use it for good.
To spread joy.
Used to destroy your self-esteem, then that's what will happen. But what we have done particularly is on our list of followers, we only follow positive people. We don't even see anything that could trigger us.
Interesting. I appreciate that. I look for the people who trigger me just because I feel like I'm going to change people somehow, right? Like I'm going to hammer it.
I love his
idea, because before there was social media, and I grew up in an era where there was no social media. We had dial-up internet. We called the time on the phone. We played with our friends. We did a lot of more extracurricular activities. So I do miss that human interaction, because now it's like with the youth, it's hard to get to them, because the truth of the matter is that we're so digital. We're so big on technology. So that's a barrier for parents, adults in general. It's like, how do we reach the kids? And then we have to reach them where they are. We meet people where they are. So it's like a, like you said, it's like double sided. I understand where you come from, but we're in a new generation now.
Some of us spread the joy. Some of us use it to spread the hate. And then there's things in the middle. And then there's hard news. People who look like us watching them being murdered by police is hard news. And that's not the kind of thing that's good for our mental well-being to see day in and day out. On the other hand, we don't want to ignore that it's happening either. So it's important. So the whole thing is a double-edged sword. I appreciate you bringing that up. I want to give you a chance. Any shout outs before we go?
Can we shout out the mayor of Providence? That's our guy, by the way.
Mayor Lorza, shout out to Mayor Lorza.
Providence.
Shout out to the mayor of Providence.
Yeah, but like at one of our farewell, we were the greeters. What was the name of that
event? It was an NAACP event.
NAACP event. So we got to meet him and the governor.
Yeah.
We also got to give our telephone number. If anyone you can reach us directly. Our number is 301-456-0563.
It's a 24-hour hotline for anybody that's suffering also. So you can call us at any time. If you're ever feeling like anything, dial that number and talk to us, okay? We want to give a shout out to all the students that were here today and all the wonderful questions that you guys asked.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you. I say this in all sincerity. Every single time that I see your faces, it is joy. You are mission accomplished. You are absolutely spreading joy. I definitely appreciate you. One of our students already had to go. He says, bye, thanks for everything and have a good one. And then he like threatens me and says, mister, say that, right? Like, so all of my remaining students, if you could please unmute your microphone, even if you're in the bathroom, Isaiah, unmute your microphones. This has been another Steambox podcast with Humanity 365. We've got my homies with us. Please follow them. They gave me information in this podcast. Again, students, if you could please unmute your microphones and everybody say peace out.
Good night. I mean, peace. I forgot what I...
Peace.
Is it the afternoon? It's the afternoon, right?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
You are never alone.